Hi, this is Obiora Obi-Wan, and you're listening to the Life of Testimony podcast. Through life, this is the life of power.
This is the life.
Hey, I'm excited to bring to you another week, another fresh story from another young person, a young lady this time around. I mean, I'm excited to bring these stories of what God is doing in the life of, you know, everyday people. And today I have a guest. Okay, her name is Tosin Adewale. My name is Obiora Obi-Wan. And this is the Life of Testimony podcast. Tosin Adewale, it's such a pleasure having you here. Tell us about yourself.
Thank you, plenty. Okay, so I'm Tosin Adewale Jimima. Okay, what is interesting to talk about? Okay, I graduated from the University of Jos.
Are you consulting with somebody? I understand you.
Yeah, so I graduated from the University of Jos, mass communication. At some point in time, I was a media personnel. So I moved into the business line and I started working with one telecoms company as a business consultant. But as if that wasn't enough, I stepped out from that and then I moved into sales, but now with a different company, sports company. And
so basically you've done quite some stuff. You've done some work in media, in telecoms, yes, in sports marketing.
Yes, yes.
What's your most favorite out of all that?
Okay, the business consulting part, the aspect where you, where ideas are brought to, you know, where people come to meet you for ideas and all you just need to do is just draft stuff and you just feeling yourself, or you step out to go and make business deals and to close the business and all that.
But aside from business, what kind of person are you? What are the things you like to do?
If you know what's called spontaneous, that's like me, a whole package. So some of my friends, when I post those stuff, maybe when I'm in the spiritual aspect of life, like that phase, when I post those truths pertaining to spirituality, they'll be like, okay, you're in that mood now, you're in that mood. We give you 1 month, you'll be out of that mood.
Interesting.
And then I go and I post random stuff like keep your lifestyle and all that. They'll be like, that is you right there, your vibe and all that. So fun, easygoing.
Okay.
I'm a very good listener and I love to gist people. So like almost every time you're with me, I'm always having a gist to update you with.
I can tell you one thing that our listeners want you to gist them, right?
Okay, so.
And here we bring everyday people like you, you know, who've had real encounters with God, and you had an experience with God which you want to share with us. Tell us. I would like to know what your faith and your life was like before you had that encounter with God.
Was I born of a Christian family?
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so my family tried so hard to bring me to Christ, because at some point in time in my life, I think 2012, 2013, I was rooted in spirit. I was in things of God, at least according to a lot of people. I was in church, part of the choristers, I was singing and all that. And then I was in school, 2013. I think I had, was that like my first breakup? Yes, I really touched me. And
okay, your first breakup with your first boyfriend.
Yes, my dad that I thought was my first boyfriend. So
okay.
So and it moved me because the guy was brutal, like in the way he moved. And I was like, God, if a person that I could trust so much, this much, can move this way, I doubt I can trust any other thing. So I moved into depression for like a very long time. A lot of people didn't know, but my friends back then, like my close friends, knew. So I was refusing to return back home because I was still in Jos at that time. So refusing to come back home. My parents always asked me, come back home. But then I kept giving them excuses. Coming to Lagos all the way from Jos is like a long distance. But I was just not time to to drown in, wallow in depression, to entertain, like, entertain all forms of lies from the devil. I would stay there and just, my friends started introducing alcohol and all that. So I started drinking a lot. So I was like, okay, I'll just be drinking. I'll be smoking. Since a lot of people are smoking, so I will not be doing smoking. I'll just be still, because of my home training, I'll just be sticking to drinks. And then I drank into 300 level and 400 level. I knew there was something different. Like, I was cold towards a lot of people. I knew I was cold. Like, bitterness was just in my heart. So you used me anything fun and I'll just laugh. But deep down, I was bitter and I felt like I needed to fill that void. So I kept looking for, like, stuff to fill it up with. And at that time, I had, like, some couple of friends, guys, that were always smoking weed and all that. And they would, like, want to get me to smoke. And I'm like, no, my father and all that. And I'm asthmatic. I can't be smoking and all that. And then they're like, you will not die. Smoking weed is like light. So I was like, instead of smoking the roots, let me just boil the weed. I'll just boil it and drink it up. And they're like, okay, that's another way. At least when we're all in the mood, when we're all cruising, you will not be left out. So, and then I'll drink up this bold experiment of mine and to be my blood stream, like, for like 2 days, and when it gets to fade, I'm back with my worries, I'm facing my fears again, and I'm still tormented, and the person that caused this pain is still living fine. He graduated. Okay, because he graduated, I was now left with, okay, I need to start replanning my life, because this was me planning my life around the person, thinking that person gave me joy, thinking he was what I needed to get moving. You know, when people make all these little promises because of you're excited or one thing or the other, this rubbish life with a lot of stuff. So he was who I built my world around.
So that means even after the breakup, he was still somewhere, you know, in the picture, even while you were busy, you know, trying to lean on other things for the, you know, peace that your heart was looking for.
Yes.
And so you were still looking at having him back as, you know, what would give you peace, or...
No, I wasn't looking back at trying to have him.
Okay.
I was looking at him based from a point of resentment.
Okay.
Because I was...
Yeah, so you had that bitterness that you spoke about.
I was so angry that I allowed myself to, like, love a person. Like, why would you be so stupid to love a person and you're 200 level that much? Like, why? So I kept asking myself, like, why would you love him? They sent you to school to go and study. You went to go and love. Like, how? You're too young to know what love is and all that. So,
where was God in your life when all this was happening? How did you used to think about God, you know?
Before my 300 level, my 100 level to 200 level, if you see me, you know God. Like, you see me, you see God. But after the relationship and all that, I became, wow, you look lost. Like, what's up? Jimmy, because I call me Jimmy Mouse in school. You look lost. Like, what's up with you? So my grades started dropping, a lot of things started happening and all that. And my lecturer started threatening me based on all this sexual stuff. And I moved from school. I moved into the real world.
Okay, you mean like sexual harassment from lecturers?
Yes.
Okay.
So and all that. And it started making me to question how God would allow, because this was a God I loved so much. Like, how do you allow something as deep as that to happen to me? Like, this is just giving me like signs that this was going to happen. Like, because I served you in spirit and truth, I was telling God as at that time, but I didn't know, my silly mind didn't know that God was protecting me from like a whole lot of things. Because much later after school, I started to reason. Then I think I came back home and my father was still trying to understand what happened. Where did they miss it? Because from my 200 level to 400 level, they started seeing a different side. I became so rebellious. Like, if you talk one, I'm talking 20, like, and I'm looking at you in the eyes, and I'm like, and they're like, my father then said, this bitterness you have, and you need to deal with it. But I knew the root of the whole problem. Then real world started happening. Then I started falling sick. Based on, I was still taking the things I used to take, the substance I used to take, but I wasn't doing drugs.
Okay, like, well, see, well, weed is a type of drug. I mean, so the weed was still there, the alcohol was still there,
yes,
after school, and all that.
So the weed, 3 years after, because I graduated 2016, 2017, I'm trying to pick up a new me, and these old friends from before just come back, and this dude from before came apologizing, and I'm like, then you reawaken my mind again back to the bitterness. But it doesn't mean that I didn't experience love from friends, like real friends. I loved people, but I still had that hole in my heart that I wasn't ready to speak to any person about, because I just don't know, like people say me weak. So because I didn't go back to confront those things, they kept eating me up like wounds. They kept eating me up because I had unforgiveness. You know, unforgiveness is a demonic spirit. So that unforgiveness I had in me, a lot of things that had happened on it, and I kept falling sick, and I fell sick sometime 2016, 2017, and I was in the hospital. That time I was like at a point of death. And I couldn't breathe. Breathing was a problem.
What was the illness?
Okay, so it was lungs infection.
Mm.
That's because I had consumed like a lot of smoke and all
I
that.
Can imagine.
So, but I didn't tell my family all that. So the doctor just kept asking, "Do you smoke? Do you do this?" And I'm like, "That's insulting. I don't smoke." And I'm like, "Okay." So I was placed in the emergency ward, and two weeks after prayers and all that, I came back to life. I'm like, "Okay, God, I'm going to try to serve. At least I'm going to try to stay."
Okay, 2 weeks after
that.
Okay, so you were discharged from the hospital.
Yes.
After that first episode.
Yes.
Incident, yeah.
So, but the doctor then told me, like, you need to be very, very careful. Like, you need to be very careful. And this is my family. They don't believe in asthma and all that. They just, it's all of the devil. So just pray and you'll be fine. Take an anointing, you'll be good. So I was like, okay, it's prayer and I'll be fine. So I tried praying and I'll be fine. Then my job came, the business consulting job came, and I got really busy with it. And then it felt like I'm always having like seasonal sickness. Once it gets to one, maybe we're about to change from one climate to weather to the next, and I'm falling sick. So I started seeing it as normal. My dad said, calling it, it's not normal. So 2017, 2018, then I met new friends, and this is now I have stopped smoking. I told myself I was going to stop smoking after that sickness. And I went to visit my friend, and it felt like on the island, it's like a normal thing. Everybody smokes, everybody drinks. And I'm like, can't I go for a party without drinking? Can I go for a party without encountering smoke? But it felt like I was like the old one out there. So I was like, okay. And then they ginger you like, smoke up, you will not die from it. Just one drag won't kill you. And I'm like, okay, one drag won't kill me. So like that, I started to entertain it. And I knew it was affecting me health-wise, but you just needed to fill that void, because I still knew there was something there. I was smoking, I was partying, I was drinking, and it was just there. Like, there was no fulfillment. Even my job, my parents loved this job for me, my mom especially. Your daughter is working with the telecoms company, so she was telling everybody, but I was not happy.
Sorry, and all the while we were able to hide this from your parents.
Yeah, I do that well. Like, I hide stuff so well from people. So, but they couldn't pick. My dad knew something was off, but at least my daughter is going to work and she's not, I do, her mind is not, devil is not making use of my mind physically. So yeah, so 2018 we started having serious issues family wise based on the rebelliousness was starting to manifest. Like, I just needed to be alone, step out of relationships. I don't know, I felt like the devil pulling me out. Maybe the devil had seen that God has like a great call on my life, so he just wants to end me before that time. And then I started falling like really, really sick. But again, strong mind, I tried to get back, work, break down, come back to work. And my workplace were asking me, are you sure you'll be able to continue with this job? And I was like, yes. And it got to one point, I was like, I need to just step back. And then they said, what will you be doing? I said, I don't know, but at least something will come up. And then I got other jobs. But I kept quitting the job because it was not it. This was me that I tasted the whole party and all that, and I was not good. Then 2019, after working my butt out for my job, my dad called me sometime in March because we had issues in June, and I left the house. Leaving the house is not like the best. I was like, anything that will get me away from my dad and everybody. I don't want people to be my business.
So you packed your things and you left the house?
Yeah, I didn't even need to like pack everything. I just, you know, just take a few things and just move. And I moved that way. Then I left.
So where did you stay?
Okay, so I was staying with my cousin. my cousin somewhere far from where my family will be able to go to, because before they think of that journey, they'll think back and like, okay, another time. So I was with my cousin towards Aripo. I was scared of Lagos.
Okay.
So I was there, and from there I was going to work on the island, Lekki. So from let's just say Redemption Camp, you're going to work on the island.
Okay.
And why you, originally your family is there around Yaba. So you should see how Dev wants to really shake you. So and I'm like, okay, I keep going to work. And my dad called me and he said, I saw you in my dream and you had a sickness. Nobody could like save you from it. And I was like, okay. I'm like, guy, you're trying to whine me. I'm not coming back home. Try as much as possible. I'm not coming back home. I'd made up my mind. My mind was really hard. And I was like, I'm not coming back home. And then a few days after he had told me that, I started feeling really sick. I remember I was supposed to go and see a friend at Sele that very day, but I just felt like sleeping. And my roommate was like, that's my friend Paloma. She was like, so are you sure you'll be able to go out with this, with the way you are like this? Well, let me just sleep a little. And I slept until the next day. And when I woke up the next day, I was like, I'm supposed to go to work. And then she said, are you sure you will not call your family? Because you're burning up. And I said, no, just make
up. Okay, so you had fever and... Okay.
I had fever. But I felt it was just normal, maybe based on the stress, the job stress. So maybe 2 days after I'll get back to normal. Then the third day, her mom was like, no, this one, you need to call your parents. And I was like, okay, I'll just go to work if that's what's worrying you. So I went to work. But at work, I wasn't productive. I was just sleeping and all that. And then something kept telling me, you just need to go home. And my dad, so I had to call my dad. And then, you know, dude has been trying to call me for like a very long time. And finally, I'm calling him because I had blocked all of them. So then I went home and I was at home. And I was like, maybe I was just homesick. So I was home that day. Then the next day, I woke up to make something for me to eat. And I stayed back. Like, I was hating the fact that this is me that steps out every time and I'm just here sleeping anyhow. What's up? What's happening? Like, God was trying to humble me more. Then the fourth day, I stepped up and I was like, why are they not singing? Like, because we do this devotion, morning devotion every day.
Okay.
Based on Redeemed Family, and they're just doing their thing. And I came out and I was like, why are you not praying? Why are you not doing it loud? So I tried to drag myself out of the room to go into the parlor. But I realized when I stepped out, I was feeling this heaviness on my body. And I was like, maybe I should just try to stretch. But the stretch itself was taking a lot of energy from me. So I know when I'm about to have like all this panic attack, asthma attack, mine doesn't like occur like all these, your friends and all that. It just comes like slowly. You feel like your chest is clouded and you need to just get enough air or something. So I felt like I needed to open the window or something. So I stepped out and I was like, okay. So I saw someone wearing white and I was like, is that my dad? Why is he standing by the bathroom? Why would he just come to the parlor where everybody was? And when I got into the parlor, I saw that my dad was there and I was like, so what did I see? So I was too weak to step back to go and look at what I saw. And I was like, okay, I was just thinking of stuff. So I sat down. And then they were singing. And for some reason, I couldn't breathe properly. So my head was on the table.
Who was singing?
My family, because of the devotion going on. Yes. So they were all singing, and I was like, why can't I sit upright? Let me just rest. So I kept telling, I was looking to myself, and I just put your head on the table and sing along. So my head was on the table, and I kept singing. But before I knew, I felt me getting weaker by the moment. I was like, what is happening? So I was like, you know when you're suffocating?
Yes.
So it's like I should open something, but my hands were weak. They couldn't move on their own. My legs couldn't move. And I was like, what is happening, God? Before he hit me, like, oh, it's like you're having one of those attacks. And I was like, God, how do I? Because my head was already on the table and I couldn't get up my own self anymore. So it's like, at least somebody should look at me from where they are praying. I know that something's happening to this person here.
Were you in a different room?
Or? We were all in the same room. So the power is arranged in a funny way though. Okay, so let's just say I'm at the left side of the room, they're all on the right side praying. They couldn't, there was no way they could look towards that place unless maybe a spirit or something pokes them, because we're all kneeling down.
I'm praying.
So I was far from everyone. And I kept saying mad. I was like, God, at least please poke my father, just touch him in his heart to look at me. And
we are too weak to get up.
I couldn't even speak. Water just kept pouring from my eyes on its own. And I was like, what is happening, God? Like, I kept asking myself, what is happening? And my legs were very weak. So that was it. So my legs started getting weaker. And I was like, okay, I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my body. And it felt like the thing was coming from inside and it was just shutting everything down. And now this is me. My head was on the table and it started moving. Like, my whole body was moving off the table. And I was like, okay, I'm going to fall. And I was like, Jesus, just let him look at me. And right as I was about to hit the ground, my dad looked down at me. I think he rushed down and then he was trying to like pull me back, and I was just tired. And he was shouting, open your eyes and all that. And I just felt I needed to, like, this is the end, I need to sleep. So I'm trying to sleep and he's pulling me back, and it felt like he was trying to disturb my sleep. And then he kept shaking me and I was like, I didn't dedicate you to the devil, you will not die. This one, that one. And then I was like, you shall not die but live. I speak the word of God into your life. You are not for the devil. And I would look at him again, and now my eyes are closed because my body was very, like, I've never felt that kind of weakness before.
I can imagine.
On a normal, I get to have serious chest pain and I can't breathe. Even before I move on a normal, when I'm having like asthma attack, I just try to remind myself not to panic too much. Just open my mouth and breathe. This one, I couldn't control any part of my body. So I was shaking. Like, I knew I was shaking violently at first because like I was struggling for air and everything. And then they tried opening my mouth. They tried slapping me too. and something in me just said, asked for anointing oil. And my dad was first saying they should bring water so they could pour on my face to wake up. And when this friend hit me to wake up, and I was like, anointing oil. And then, so they ran down and then they brought it.
When they first hit you on the face?
Yeah, like they had to hit me to wake up. So they wanted to pour me water.
Pour water on you.
Okay. Yes, into my mouth or something so I could wake up. But so right after hitting me, I don't know what kept it in my spirit to say anointing oil. So I was like, anointing oil. And then, right after I said that, I just felt like I passed out or something. And I went back again. And then they brought it and it was in my mouth. And I kept shaking and I kept shaking. This is me not breathing normally now. Everything was making funny sounds in my ear. And everyone was blurred. I couldn't see anybody anymore. So when he kept shouting the prayers into my ears, I don't know, but it worked magic. When my eyes opened, I was looking at him, and water was pouring from my eyes, tears were pouring, and I was like, you want me, or you want me, you want me. So in my heart, I was praying, God, even if I'm going to leave, just give these people peace. Like, because I saw all their faces, like, they were all looking worried and like, as if my dad was going to cry. And I was just like, it's not like the first or second time I'm seeing him. But that time, I knew I was going, and I knew in my heart I was off.
I can imagine, because I've had a similar experience.
So right after the whole prayer, I don't know what happened next, but the next minute, I'm like, okay, I need to go and pee. And then they allowed me. So I staggered into the toilet. After peeing, my pee was brown, like, let's just say, like, almost Coke bottle, like the Coke itself. And I was like, God, what happened to me? So I tried to lay down back on the chair, and the whole thing kept replaying, and I was scared. But I kept praying, God, please give me peace. If this was you, which I know it was you. Teach me how to serve you. Like, I don't want to go back doing what I used to do. I want to, I've experienced you for myself. I want to know what it means to serve you in spirit and in truth. Like, I don't want to go back the same way, live a life of hypocrisy. Yeah. No, I do not want to go back doing that. And the first night, the second night was like, I was really scared. But there were nights where I would sleep on a sleep like a baby. Yeah. But when
first couple of nights after you had this incident,
I couldn't do anything for myself. Like, I couldn't go around. So it was like I was learning how to move on my own. Just like I was learning how to do stuff again. I couldn't step out. But the whole panic attack, everything died down. The whole panic attack died down, and my dad just kept looking at me and I was like, you really need to serve God. Nobody needed to tell me that. I knew that already. So I couldn't step out still. 3 weeks after, I still couldn't do anything. Then 3 months after, which was now my birthday, so I was thinking, God, how do I celebrate my birthday and still share the fact that you are God, you are alive, you exist? How do I pass this message to my friends? And because I feel God saw that earnest desire in my heart, I was able, this is me, if I want to step out of my room, I feel sick. And I go back, my head is feeling dizzy, light, and I go back on my bed. So it's just my bed, my room, my bed, my room. I don't step out of the room. So the third month, I was able to step out. Then I was able to understand, okay, you kept me for a reason. Then in January, I went to church because I couldn't go to church with my family. So I had to go to the church close by and I gave my testimony. And then I understood what God, what the peace from God, what peace like a river really means. And ever since then, I've been like telling people about Christ.
Did you go for like a medical check to know what, you know, the, how is your health right now? Let's even start from there.
Okay, so it's been fine. It's been great. I know.
Since that day, you've been fine. Day,
I know.
This is how long now?
Since September. So now it's like 8 months or 9 months. 7 months.
Glory be to God. But did you check, like, because I know, yeah, because I know that you had like a lung issue. So were you able to confirm what led to that incident?
I don't, you know, when there's one thing you're about to call a fall over, okay, you use your hand to yourself. Okay. So I knew it was as a result of all my smoking, all my frying, I knew all that. So when it started happening, the doctor had warned me before.
Okay.
They had warned me like 3 years before then. They had warned me 2 years before then. They had warned me a year before then. But I was still stubborn.
Okay.
So when it started happening, I knew it was it. Because they had told me, if you continue this way, I just don't know how you're going to survive. The doctor clearly told me. And I was like, it'll be good. But ever since then, this time June, like every normal year, I'm always cold. I'm always having one cold all your life. If it's not cat or something, if it's not it's not me, always trying to clear my throat. But ever since that period, like, God has given me so much peace.
Awesome.
Like, I'll be, so many times I'll be broke, and I'm fine.
Take us to your testimony again, like when you give the testimony in church, because you mentioned, you know, you asked God to give you peace. When was that? Like after this incident, before you went to church?
Or? Yeah, I asked him to give me peace before the incident. Okay. No, after the incident.
Okay.
So right after it, the peace wasn't coming.
Okay.
It was like I was expecting the miracle immediately. It wasn't coming. So I knew I needed to pause for God to like do what he needed to do with me. So I started reading books. Then I read one of Robert's book, and I thought
Robert,
he went through almost the same thing I went through.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, God, this is you passing a message to me. Okay. So I was like, what is your call for my life? I need to understand what your call for my life is. I need to stop running. I didn't experience that peace, but I felt light. I felt like a load has been taken off my shoulders. But I just needed to be calm, not to give him a deadline to manifest.
Okay.
Then when I went to church in January, they were praying. This was even before my testimony and all that. They were praying. This was before me giving my testimony in church.
Yes.
They were praying, and a different pastor came. And I felt like, I felt peace in my heart. Like the peace
that
was
release. Yeah.
It was an entire different realm, a different level. And I started having the boldness to talk about Christ to people.
Awesome.
To talk about Christ to my brothers, to talk about Christ to my friends. And then they're like, what happened to you? A lot of people get asking, what happened to you? Because we're seeing a new person. And then end of January, I was able to give my testimony. And when I gave my testimony, I was crying, and everybody was like, what happened?
Even this year. Okay.
Even right after giving my testimony, some people couldn't understand. You know, so a lot of people listen to you like carnally, they will listen to you in the flesh and still not understand. But people that operate in this realm of the spirit, when you know, especially people that have been close to that situation, they'll be able to relate. Then a sister from church had to message me like, your testimony was powerful. But others kept going like, oh, they said, you give testimony. We didn't say to come to preach. But right after giving the testimony, a lot of people kept messaging me that, I bless God for your life. And right after then, if I look at my siblings, if I look at the way they're moving, I'm like, God, I don't want them to go this way. That way I went through.
Mm.
That way.
Mm.
I don't want them.
And God will use you to reveal himself more and more to them. Two things in your testimony that I want to hear a bit more about, or I want to inquire about. When you were having your incident, you mentioned it was like you saw a man in white or something.
Yes, I saw a man standing in white, so my head was like, maybe it's my dad. But then I remember, my dad doesn't tell every time white to us. He doesn't wear whites.
White, was he a robe?
It was far, because I don't really see far.
Yeah, okay.
So, but the white was just shining. So I was like, is that daddy standing there with white? I'm like, okay, just don't look at him. Because I was trying to avoid my dad throughout that period when I came home. Because we weren't talking.
Okay.
So this was a song we've been beefing for like, months.
Okay.
So then I saw him standing there. I was like, why is he standing there? Then I moved from there. I was like, I'm not going to greet him this morning. So I went into the living room to pray. Only for me to see him then, I was like, someone was standing there.
Mm.
But because I was too weak, because I couldn't breathe, I wasn't able to like go back and check. So when I told a pastor what happened, and the pastor was like, so it's God you saw. And I was like,
It could be an angel. It could be it was your from my discernment, it was your deliverance. I mean, your, you know, it could be an angel that was sent to stand guard to make sure that, you know, you didn't lose your life, you know, at that point in time, at that incident. Because when you're, you know, a bit closer to the spirit realm, you start seeing, you know, things in the spirit. And I actually want to, you know, commend your dad, because from your testimony, clearly, because of, you know, his faith and the words of faith, he was able to speak into your life when you were having that incident.
Yes.
I mean, the word of God is powerful. I mean, those words, you know, like, made sure that, you know, you didn't give up, and that, you know, your spirit was revived at that point in time.
Yes.
So having that experience, and you saw yourself almost dying, it's like it really shook you, and it made you realize that, you know, God is real. What has been your experience with God after that? So, what was your relationship with him been like?
My relationship moved, like it became solid. Okay, so I was first not knowing how to talk to God. I talked to my friends concerning God because these were people that knew the kind of lifestyle I used to live. So I was like, I don't want these people judging me. So I'm not going to like tell them.
How easy was it for you to stop some of those things, like to give up alcohol and give up the weed? And was it a struggle?
I don't know how many people believe, but an interesting fact came. Right after I experienced what I experienced, I lost interest. I didn't even have to try. So Cardi B's show was to happen like a few weeks after that. So I had booked tickets. So someone was supposed to give us a ticket. Then I told my friend about it. That was before the encounter. So right after the encounter, a week after, she called me like, "Is the ticket still up? How is it going to happen?" and all that. And I was like, "You know what? Maybe you should just go." And she was like, "This is Cardi B we're talking about, though. You're not going again." I was like, "I just want to rest." And then she was like, "Are you still sick?" I said, "No. I just don't feel like going anywhere." And she said, "Okay." I thought it was only that one. There was a thing I used to do that I left out of the whole testimony. Maybe they should have come first. Because I used to tell myself, I don't want to go into sexual sin. Let me just watch videos, like entertain my mind and all that. So this is like common. I'll go to porn sites. This is me that hates porn sites. But I don't know how devil made it so comfortable, so normal for me. So I'll go into porn sites and I'll watch stuff. And I'm like, okay, I do not like this boy and girl movement. No, it's too rough for me. So I'm stepping out of that zone. And I'm like, okay, so the girl part is interesting for me. So I'm like watching. And I'm like, why am I not moved? But I kept telling myself, why am I not moved? But not knowing, because I was entertaining it. This thing kept sticking. So even when I'm not watching, I might just be, and the whole scene is playing in my head. I didn't need like any person to tell me that you're already getting tied to this thing. So there are days when I'll be at work and I'm watching it. And I'm like, I'm watching porn site. And I'm like, God, is this becoming a problem? But this was me that I was born into a family, a Christian family, and I've been told severally, this is sin, masturbation is a sin, this one is sin, that is sin. Like everything has been like tagged. So watching it on a normal was like a problem for me. But much later when, you know, sin became like a normal thing, sin has become like a normal thing today. So I was like, okay, so I should just start watching since like everybody's doing it, fornication is like the normal thing. So I started watching it because what I was telling myself, men are scum, I don't want to do this. And you know, that's how a lot of people get drawn into lesbianism.
I can imagine.
Because of what they entertain in their hearts. Because I wasn't guiding my heart, I wasn't guiding my mind, I kept watching stuff and gradually started sticking. So many times I might just be, and funny thoughts will come into my head. I don't have to commit the sin in physical. I was already committing it in my head. So now that was like a big problem. That was like a big struggle. So I had like videos on my phone that had locked far. Like you take the grace of God to know where it is in my phone.
Yeah.
So I had it on my phone. So this is me now being transformed, having the renewal of the heart. I want to pull away from it. And I'm like, okay, this will cost me a lot. I was going to start taking down these videos. So I was like, okay. So I felt that was going to be like one of the worst struggles of my life. But I was like, if you're going to make up your mind to stay focused to God, you have to understand that sin is sin. You have to deal with all kinds of sin if you want to stay faithful. So I started deleting. Like, I knew I was tied to these videos. I didn't have... Nobody needed to tell me. So deleting them was a real struggle. But right after deleting them, I was like, okay, good. Am I supposed to be like clean right now. I was asking myself. Then I slept and I still had dreams concerning them. And I was like, okay, I need to address this. But I wasn't putting it in prayer to God because I was embarrassed. Like, I was ashamed.
To even talk to God about it.
Yes. So it was like a dirty secret that I didn't want to talk to anybody about. So I was like, okay, you need to address it. So it took me like months after. Like, I deleted videos. I don't go back to that site because I'm careful not to commit sin before God. Careful not to entertain talks or discussions that will lead to that. So this is like 5 months after transformation. And because I keep having like funny dreams about it, and I had to kneel down and I was like, God, please, I want to be dead to stuff like this. And it happened. Like, I had to, like, put the old man behind me. And
so after you said that prayer,
I had to speak out all my sins. You know, you need to confess.
So you were able to talk to God about them. So basically, you ask God for help to, you know, because, you know, those kind of habits like, you know, pornography, masturbation, you know, alcoholism, you know, and then using substance and stimulant drugs, they have the addictive elements that, you know, at times, you know, people try to, you know, treat and, you know, but some people have a spiritual experience and that helps them. And I thank God for your testimony because there are a lot of young people who've gone down the path that you did, you know, and found their health, you know, deteriorating as a result of, you know, using certain substances and, you know, some certain kind of lifestyle. And they didn't make it.
Yes.
But, you know, God preserved you. And would I say that made you to turn to God? And to me, the encounter with God is, because it's easy. I've heard people, I've seen people who have an encounter, they're like, oh, no, I'm not going back again. I don't want to die. Da, 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 da. But tomorrow they find themselves still doing, you know, the same thing. But it's been quite some, you know, some time. And I believe the prayers that you prayed and, you know, the prayers that your family members are praying over you, you know, really helped, you know, to, you know, set you free from that. And I mean, you already admitted here that you found that that, you know, you still had the pull of those kind of things. So I mean, you know, the consequences, dreams, and all that, you know, the thoughts and all that. But, you know, when you encounter God, God, you know, intervenes, and when you really yield to Him, He breaks those chains.
Yes.
And the reason why I'm bringing out this, you know, because there could be somebody out there who's struggling with, you know, things like this. Sometimes it's miraculous. Sometimes, you know, somebody lays a hand on you, or you pray, or you had a dream, or you know. So, but sometimes God, you know, in fact, most times God just, you know, walks in the silence, right? In the little prayers that you mutter, you know, from your heart, from the depth of your heart, to say, God, I can't help myself. God, I need to be free from this. So, I mean, that's God for you. You called on Him. He answered that desire for you to be free from that kind of lifestyle and for you to serve Him.
Yes.
So if there's anybody listening right now and, you know, you desire to serve God, my advice would be, don't stop calling on Him. Don't stop, because I, you know, at times people also say, okay, God, I want to serve you today. And then probably it doesn't happen immediately and they give up, you know, but I know that because the Bible says that you will find me when you seek for me with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength.
Yes,
concerning Jeremiah 29.
Yes, concerning 13. That. It shouldn't just stop at I give my life to Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. Yeah, I'm good. and I'm free and I'm moving back into the world. Like, I'm moving like nothing, like there's no, like there are no spiritual battles. Because a lot of people, a lot of Christians move around like they don't have like spiritual warfare going on. Like, the moment you give your life to Christ, the devil is like, he's angry. He wants to come back. He wants to claim you back from Christ.
And that's why we're having all those sort of relapses, you know, and consequences, you know, from you know, the life you had lived before. But that is what we're talking about, as in the life of testimony. Because the life of testimony, I mean, is the life that is always victorious, that always testifies that God is there once you've given your trust to Him to deliver you, you know, from this thing. Right. So I really cherish your your testimony. But what would you, because before we started recording, you were saying something. I mean, you were talking about, you know, the kind of life that, I mean, you've, I would say as a young person, you've partied, you've been there, you know, there might be some young people there, and I might sound like an unbeliever now, but let me think, like, for some people, there might be some people there like, because you try to die, because say your head no strong now, why you know, that kind of thing that we normally say as young people, you know, you will get over it very soon. I'm sure you had friends that was telling you, very soon you will start will start going for all sorts of things again and all that. So how were you able to break free from all that? And, you know, for a young person that still wants to experience all this, you know, because it's fun, in quotes, what would you want to say? Because you've been there.
Okay, so when my friends get, especially a particular friend, it's one of those your faith, it's like one of those times when you go off,
when you're feeling holy.
Yes. It's like, he was like, I give you like a period of 3 months. And I was like, no, this one, I'm not going back. Awesome. Like, I've experienced God. I've experienced, and I'm still experiencing His joy. I'm experiencing His peace. Awesome. I don't think I want to trade it for anything.
Awesome. Because when you've experienced that, you see that peace, that, you know, it's not really quantifiable. It's not something you can really, you know, but you've come to the place where you experience, you know, a freedom and a peace, you know, from the lifestyle that you knew that was killing you, the temporary pleasures that, you know, you get that, it's like you're high now, but then you now slip into depression and you know that it's killing you and all that. So once you experience that peace and that joy, so that's so important.
Yes. Like, it's like there's this whole goodness of God that follows you. Like, once there's this transformation, once you accept God in your heart, once you believe that He's always ready to save you, like, once you believe, once you're ready to yield yourself to the Spirit, yield yourself to God, His faithfulness follows you through it all. Like, you're broke and then you still have peace. Like, a lot of things are not going right in the physical, like, in your physical day-to-day lifestyle, but you have this peace of God. Like, I still talk about this peace
because His presence is everything.
Yes.
To know that the God of the universe, you know, approves of you, right? And that He's with you.
Yes.
You know, it makes every other thing, you know, just look like, you know, freckles in
Thank
the wind.
Thank you very much. Yes. Yes. So, like, I've been in a difficult situation and I look at the situation and I'm like, just give me the time.
Because you know that God is with you.
Because I know every step of the way He has got me covered, because I feel He has called me for a purpose. He brought me back to life for a purpose. So my brother out there, my sister out there, don't need to, like, every time I look at them, they don't need to wait to, like, they're at the dying phase, like a point of death, a point of near-death experience. We experience Christ. I keep telling my friends, you don't need to be in a critical situation to experience the love of God.
I'm happy you're telling them.
You don't need to wait till that point.
Because it's not everybody that, you know, has the opportunity to be delivered from that.
And as much as my father has tried to help me spiritually, I make sure I read like good Christian books that nourishes the spirit, that boosts your faith up. And yes, I made sure to pull myself away from friends some certain friends that will always remind me of my previous way of life. Mm. I don't need anybody to remind me of my past life. Mm. Like, take me back to my previous lifestyle. No. Whoever I'm going to be flirting with should be moving with me, like, into greater things. Mm. Towards the work of God, towards bringing salvation to a lot of people out there. Like, there are lots of lost souls out there. Mm. There are lots of lost souls out there. And now right now,
you read your Bible as well. I mean, you read books, yes, and you study. So it's important, from what I hear you say, it's important to make sure you replace, you know, the things that are going out, you know, from your life, yes, with the things that will build your faith.
Thank and you
build
much.
Your spirit, man. And make sure that, you know, and you said it all, that's that life of testimony, that reassurance. And it's not every time. Sometimes you feel you're not so sure of God's presence with you. Mm. You know, sometimes, you know, situations and flesh and things can get in the way. But once that seed of salvation is already there in your heart, you can easily find your way back through, like, worship,
yes,
or, you know, and to be able to talk to God and get His reassurance, that's life.
Yes, concerning being able to talk to God, like, when the whole transformation happened, when that incident happened where I had that dead experience needed. A few months after, my younger sister, I don't know what happened, she was fine, like, throughout the whole day, she was good. And right after helping a young lady like that braid her hair, this is my younger sister, I stepped out of the room and I saw her laying still on the floor, and I was like, what is happening? So now this is me already knowing how to move in the spirit. I already know how to speak in tongues properly. I do not doubt the word of God concerning my life anymore. I speak in the spirit no matter how devil tries to put in my mind I'm speaking rubbish. So I already believe that the word of God is true, and whenever I call on Him, He will answer me. So I saw my sister laying out there and I was like, God, what is happening? So I was first scared in my heart to go and look at her, but she was looking pale. So my mom then came and was like, what happened to my sister that she's not breathing and all that? And I was like, okay, she's not breathing. Okay, right. I'm not going to go close to that sin. My dad came, and then I just thank God that we have a praying father. So my dad,
amazing, yeah.
My dad knelt down close to her and kept his hand, and he was praying, and they were frying prayer, and it felt like they were going to keep frying this prayer for a very long time. And I knelt down in my room and was like, God, you know, you brought me for a purpose. You brought me back to life for a purpose. We were not experienced death in our family. Not at all. I said, we will not experience whatever sorrow that will make us move back to our previous lifestyle. Whatever will make me want to doubt your word in my life, it's not going to happen. Then I speak life into my sister. Like, I don't even need to be there with her, but I speak life into her body right now. And God, whatever sins that the devil is still trying to accuse us with, please lift it up from us and cleanse us of every unrighteousness. And as I kept praying, then my sister coughed outside, and then they're like, what happened? Like, this is my sister, I was like, gone. She was not breathing. She was just there on the floor. But
I hope you guys were able to get a medical assessment. Like,
yeah, my dad is a nurse.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's like a good thing. So she's SS. So,
oh, she's, oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah, so right after the whole prayer, she was still moving, like, she got everything got back fine. The next day she was good. She even went back to her normal way of life, shouting and all that. I was like, babe, we don't know what God did.
Thank God for miracles. But we'll also get your sister, right, to, you know, come and tell her story.
But a lot of us, no, the thing is, a lot of us move around feeling entitled to our normal, like, the life we live, we feel entitled. The only time we call on God is maybe when we're close to a dying point situation or a very tight spot. We shouldn't wait till that time to call on God, to seek Him, to seek His righteousness. We shouldn't move to that time. We shouldn't wait when we lose a loved one. I keep telling every person. But anyways, okay. That was it.
All right. Amazing. I'm glad to hear your testimony. Affliction will not arise again in your life.
Amen.
And you will grow from grace to grace.
Amen.
And yes, His grace will be multiplied in your life. So, I mean, this is Tosin's story. thank God you were born in, you know, like, you know, a family that has a Christian background. And then at the point in time, you missed your way and, you know, God had to allow you to go through some stuff to shake you up.
Yes.
and bring you back. But, you know, but perhaps there's someone there who doesn't even have this background of, you know, knowing God through Christ. I pray that your testimony would speak to them, because you're speaking about what you experienced. And I just want to encourage any such person to, you know, give him a shot, a taste, and see that he's good. You know, give him a shot. And the testimonies we bring to you here are, you know, things that people have experienced, people who have looked up to God in Christ, and he came through for them. So if there's anybody out there who's listening and there's an area of your life you want him to come through for you, I pray that from the bottom of your heart you will open up to him, just like she did, and ask him to intervene.
Amen.
And you will have your testimony.
Yes.
And if you're out there listening to this, say the prayer, send us a message. And I mean, if you want to share your testimony, send us a message. I'm sure you'll be able to see from where you, you know, downloaded this podcast, our contacts. I would like to have you on this seat if you're listening and you have a testimony of your experience, your encounter with God to share. So, that's it.
That's all for this episode. If you enjoy what you just heard, you can share with friends and family. Also, you can head over to any of your app stores and install the Jammy app and never miss a thing. That's all for now. See you on the next episode.